This is the third section of the Sefer. The first two, if anyone wants to catch up, the first two sections are all online on YU Torah. Okay, and we begin with the section called Seder HaTefillah. This is from Rav Moshe Wolfson. For those who are not familiar, Rav Moshe Wolfson was a great mashgiach for many years in Yeshivas Torah Vadas, and he's a Rav in Borough Park. The shul is called Emunas Yisrael. His farmer called Emunas Itecha. And this is the Sefer HaTefillah called Va'ani Tefillah. And maybe you can get it online. I don't know, did we not have success with that? Okay, but I'll make copies so everyone will have plenty to learn from. Okay, Inyan HaTefillah Hu. Kisha Adam Omid, on page Chav Gimel. Inyan HaTefillah Hu. Kisha Adam Omid B'Tefillah Hu Ka'omid Lefnei HaMelech. Now, Rav Wolfson's going to paint an image of what that means. When a person's davening, it's like a person who's standing before the king. And he paints a very, very real picture of what that means. As the Rambam writes, K'mash Kosef HaRambam, in the fourth parak of Hilchos Tefillah, and it's based on the Gemara in Brachos. And all of the halachos, the way that we stand at attention with our feet together, focused, with a sense of submissiveness before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the image is like a person who's talking to a king. Now, if we would just try to be ma'orer a thought of what that means to stand before a king, or a president, or a great leader, or a person you're petitioning for something, right? A person's anxious, you're nervous, you're thought out. There's a sense of your body language indicates that you're standing before an important person. V'asr lahafsik. And you're certainly not going to interrupt by checking your cell phone or anything else in the middle while you're talking to the king. Because even if you were standing before a king of flesh and blood, and you took a break, right? Imagine a person standing, prepared this long presentation in front of, a great world leader, and all of a sudden his phone rings and he answers it. It's unfathomable. He would never do such a thing. And not only would he never do such a thing, Mischayev Benafsho, the king would say, off with your head. It's a violation of the basic etiquette of standing before a king. So, Kol Shekin Kishomid Lifnei Melech Machem Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the more so. If we would just spend some time picturing what it means to stand before Hashem, we would be much more focused in our tefillos. Tachlis kol ha'tefillah hu la'agia el ha'shmona esrei shehu nichnas oz la'amod lefnei melech. And all the preparations as I'm going from Psukei Dezimra, from Brachos and Karbanos to Psukei Dezimra to Brachos Kriyashma, allows me to come to that moment where I'm omed b'yamida, where I'm omed lefnei ha'melech. U'kishirotim la'agia el ha'melech tzvichem la'avor kodem es kol minei ha'chadarim. And just like when a person goes to the king, you don't walk into the palace, right into the king's innermost room. You don't walk into the chamber where his throne is. You have to enter door after door. There's checkpoints. Right? There's many layers to coming to the innermost chamber of the king. Es shar ha-melech ha-chitzon av ha-pnimis. The first enter through the outer gates and then through the inner gates. Ad she-megiyam al-heichal ha-melech ba-atzmo. Until you walk into the room and you see the king seated upon his throne. So too, Isa b'svar ma-kadoshim. She-tzrichim la-avor ad shmona esrei dalet olamos. A person travels through all four worlds until he reaches Shmona Esrei. Now, what does he mean by all four worlds? So he's going to spell it out for us. He says, first of all, the first part of the tefillah, hu olam hashafel olam ha'asiya. Okay, if you've ever learned a little Nefesh HaChaim, or again, any other Sifrei Chasidus, right, it's a concept that comes up often. It talks about four worlds. Okay, if you want to just write them down, I'll give them to you. But we're going to go from the bottom up. He says the lowest one is called Asiya, the world of Asiya. The world of Asiya means the world, the real world, the world that we perceive. Okay, from Baruch Sha'amar, when you reach Baruch Sha'amar, when you start to enter into that world of Psukei Dezimra, Nichnas al Olam Gavoa Mimenu, Shu Yoser Karav El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'hu Olam HaYitzira. Okay, again, we're going from the bottom up. So the lowest world is called Asiya. And then there's a world called Yetzira. And that's from Gan Baruch Sha'amar through that section of Psukei Dezimra. Ubebirchas Yotzer Or. Nichnasim El Olam HaBriya. Right? Higher than Yetzira is something called Briya. Yetzira means formation when something really takes form. Briya is like initial formation. Bereishis Bara Elokim. That's where it really begins. Okay, so again, so Asiya, Yetzira, we're going from the bottom up. Asiya, Yetzira, Briya, and that's from, again, the brachos of Shema. Shua Olam Shal Kisei HaKavod. That's the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei HaKavod is, whatever that means. And that's why the minhag is to sit. Right? You're standing for parts of Psukei D'Zimra. But when it comes to the section of Kriya Shema, since you're entering into the world of Hashem's throne, it's a place where, so to speak, one is seated. And therefore, it's the practice to sit for the section from the beginning of Birchos Kriya Shema up to Shemona Esrei. Because you're acting, you're reenacting what it means to enter into the world of the throne, the world of the Kisei. L'kisei HaKavod. And then lastly, you come to the highest world. What's the highest world called? Atzilus. With an aleph. Atzilus. U'misham olam la'olam ha'atzilus. Zeh shmona esrei. Okay, asiya. We know what the word asiya means. We understand what bria and yitzira means. Different forms of creation. Again, bria being higher, being initial formation. Yitzira is when something takes on more form. What does the word atzilus mean? Why is the highest world called atzilus? Right, etzel. Eitzel HaMizbeach means next to the Mizbeach. Eitzel means what? That you're next to something. So it's as close, so to speak, as one can get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Atzilus. It's the world of nearness. It's as near as possible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, a lot more to be said about this, and it's difficult to understand even if we had the proper language to talk about it. But when you get to Shemona Esrei, a person is Mamish Omid Lifnei HaMelech. Atzilus. He's very near to the king. He's in the presence of the king. His mama standing in front of the king. Shem Adam Zochu Magiel Madrega Lios Bechinas Omid Lefnei HaMelech. And if a person works his way through these different rooms and builds himself up properly, then he's able to truly feel that he's in the presence of Hashem. And you see a person. You see a person who's davening where they're not really focused in the Shemona Esrei, and you see a person who you feel like they're literally talking to Melech Malchei Melech. Yeah.
Yeah, if Hashem's sitting on the Kisei Kavod in Riyah.
So why are we sitting? Yeah.
Well, no, I was going to say, you think that at that point you're on the Kisei.
Right, so it's a good question.
You get
right, yeah. What's the difference between the Kisei HaKavod and being.
What's
right.
In the next one? Right. Like the next one is like his private quarters. So like
right? That's a good question. That's
also,
a good question.
Isn't there, you know, seven or four?
Yeah, the Gemara talks about a different arrangement of olamos, or heavens. Right? But traditionally we talk about four olamos. There's endless, again, there's endless shlavim within all these things. What'd you say? Right, there's seven Rakiyim, according to at least one opinion in the Gemara. Right, there's different, again, there's a lot of different ways to calculate these different things, and we don't know, you know, what they mean. We're talking about spiritual worlds. Right? We're talking about spiritual realms. Okay?
So if Hashem's sitting, then why are we sitting?
Right, if Hashem's sitting, why are we sitting? What right do we have to sit? We should be standing before the Melech, like we are in the final. Okay, that's a good question. But again, you see that there's a progression of a person building himself up to get close to Hashem during davening. And when you skip levels, so then you're not going to be Omen Lifnei HaMelech in the proper way, because you haven't worked through the proper hachanos to encounter the king. Okay? Okay, bottom section. Ein lavo al shar ha-melech b'levush sak. It's not proper to come to the gate of the king wearing sackcloth. A reference to the pasuk in Megillas Esther. Isa bezar ha-kadosh. Shekidei l'hagiyo v'lamo lifnei ha-melech srichim l'iskonein l'kach mikodem. Ki ein lavo al shar ha-melech b'levush sak. In order to come, again, to the king, it's not only a verbal preparation, again, through these different worlds that you're traveling through, but a person has to dress in a way that he's standing before the king, to make some type of preparation. And this is a hard thing. Again, we all understand if I was going for a job interview, if I was going for an important meeting, I would dress a certain way. If I'm going to a formal affair, I'm going to a wedding, there's a way that a person dresses. Right? And again, that's just because of some degree of, again, etiquette in this world. So all the more so, if I'm having a meeting with Hashem, there's a way that I should be dressed. Again, it's a harder thing to do. It's a harder thing to be aware of. But that's why people have special begadim for davening, whether it's a davening jacket, or it's a hat, or it's a gartel, or it's something. Right? But again, with a sense of awareness that I'm standing before the king. And therefore, there is a proper way to dress when it comes to davening, as the Gemara talks about and as the Shulchan Aruch talks about. Umeikir tikuni hamalbushim heim tzitzis u'tfilin. But as much as a person shouldn't come to the king in, you know, shorts and a t-shirt, again, I think part of the reason that sometimes we feel like it's fine, we can do whatever, like, it doesn't resonate with us, because there's m'lam mitzchus a little bit. Because I think there's like an avinu malkeinu kind of thing going on here. I mean, in the same way that, like, around my house, I can dress more casually, so if I feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Shebashamayim, so you know, he's like a family member, so I'm very comfortable in his presence. But there's also the Melech aspect, which demands, again, a different type of levush. Okay, but Rav Wolfson's going to focus on a different type of levush that we don't really think of as levushei tefillah, maybe, in the way that we could or should, and that is sittus and tefillin. Right, when a person wraps himself in a talis, or even a talis katan, in sittus, and a person puts on tefillin, that's a special way of dressing for tefillah. Lo b'chinam tzorach levush talis u'tefillin b'tefillah. It's not by chance that there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin and we happen to wear it in the morning when we also happen to be davening. And there's a concept of wearing a talis and we happen to do it in the morning when we're davening. Right? They're of great necessity for tefillah. Tefillin and talis change the way that a person davens. Vafilu bachar she'enu lovesh, turn the page, talis gadol. And even according to some practices, that a person who's not married doesn't wear a talis gadol, al kopanim talis katan. At the very least, you're still wearing a talis katan, you're wearing tzitzis. Ve'etzel ha-svardim, and by svardim, and by yakis, noagim shagam ha-bachrim esatvim b'talis gadol. Right? By svardim, the practice is usually that even unmarried people wear a talis gadol. Lefisha talis gadol, because, again, the big talis, hu yoser kadosh, hu tikun yoser gadol. Because it's a very chashuv thing. The Indian of talis is a very, very lofty thing. When we were learning a number of years ago, the first volume of Leket Amarim, he has a piece about the talis and the tzitzis, very, very deep things with talis and tzitzis. But a person doesn't have to understand everything to be able to tap into that. When you wear the talis gadol and you say, I'm wearing the talis gadol because I know it's a chashuv Indian, so then memela, you become connected to that tikkun, whatever that is. Al kopanim zeh nachut ma'od letfila, but this is of great importance for tefillah. Hatzitzis va'tefillin meviim hisalus benefesh. When a person again wraps his body in tzitzis and tefillin, you know, there's a famous discussion about which mitzvos are full body mitzvos. The Vilna Gaon said there were two mitzvos that are full body mitzvos. What did the Vilna Gaon say? What were the two that he mentioned? The Vilna Gaon said sukkah and Eretz Yisrael, and he connected it to a pasuk in Tehillim. Right. The Vilna Gaon said sukkah. When you're in the sukkah, you're fully in the sukkah. And when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're fully in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a whole discussion about, well, maybe there's other mitzvahs that are full-body mitzvahs. Mikvahs, a full-body mitzvah. Avos Hashem. Shabbos, I'm fully surrounded by Shabbos. Okay, it swallows you up. Wrapped up in it, right. So the Vilna Gaon said those were the main two. And again, there's a lot of discussion. Maybe Aliyah L'Regel. When a person goes Aliyah L'Regel, you come fully to the Beis HaMikdash. So what did they say? Adel Yalda. Okay, good. Yeah, but Aliyah L'Regel, why did they throw out Aliyah L'Regel? So the Tzaddikim said, because when you go Aliyah L'Regel, when you come up to a Beis HaMikdash, what's one of the rules? You take off your shoes. In the Sukkah, you bring your, in Eretz Yisrael, you bring your dirty shoes in. Right? In the Sukkah, you bring in, Tzaddikim said, you walk in with the dirty boots. Take it into the Sukkah, even takes you in with your dirty boots. But Tzaddikim say also, what about Talis? Talis wraps you up, but again, it doesn't cover your feet the same way. It covers the whole body, but the feet still stick out. Right? But there's still a notion that the talis is this, it's mamish, envelops a person. Why is the minog that when a person gets married, the kala buys the talis for her chasm? That's the minog. That the kala should purchase the talis for her husband. It's very much connected to why the kala walks around the chasm seven times by the chuppah. And the answer is, because the wife is creating an or makif, she's creating like a light that surrounds her husband, that wraps up her husband. She wants to make sure that her husband's not going to stray, that her husband's going to be loyal to her, that her husband's not going to, you know, chas v'shalom, look at other women, or God forbid, even worse, get involved with anyone else. She's trying to lock him in. Right? The talis creates also an or makif around the person. It surrounds the entire guf of a person. And the talis is merami to the 613 mitzvos. He's mamish malubash b'mitzvos. So Rav Wolfson says, these are big things. It causes a person to have an alias hanefesh. Va'adam nis'al madrega, fourth line. Va'adam nis'al madrega yosar gvora al yadeim. And it's a totally different davening when a person wears a talis and when a person wears tefillin and when he's not. V'nasa merkava kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he becomes a chariot for the divine, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. D'haynu b'lavisha satzitzis hu osa kisei kiviyachol HaShroas HaShchina. That when he wears tzitzis, he becomes, again, I'm not sure what these words even mean, but he becomes, so to speak, a throne for HaShroas HaShchina, for the presence of Hashem, to descend upon him. V'ayidei tefillin. He draws the Shechina close to himself. That's like a magnet to attract Kedusha. Now listen carefully here. A person therefore has to be very careful to make sure that it sits us and his tefillin are kosher, and if you can afford that they can be mechudar, they can be beautiful, then you should do that. And just because you wear a certain type of tefillin for a long time doesn't mean you can't, you know, upgrade to a nicer tefillin. Right? To make sure that your tefillin are kosher and proper. The masha mechudar yoser, yesh bo yoser kedusha. Because the tefillin that are made with greater perfection are, again, are stronger magnets for kedusha. Ve'im hincha ben Torah, misuga nashim ha-yoser na'alim, yesh alecha tviya min ha-shamayim lahakbid afilo al yidurim. And if you're a ben Torah, if you're a person who went to yeshiva, if you're a person who learns Torah, then again, your sensitivities should be that much greater to these things. Sometimes you see, you know, an altar yid in shul and his tefillin don't look like the best tefillin in the world. Okay, what does he know? You know, he never had the opportunity to learn in yeshiva. But you're learning in yeshiva, and you went to yeshiva. You spent time in Eretz Yisrael learning in yeshiva, most of us. Right? So therefore, you're a ben Torah. You know that tefillin is an important thing. And you've had rebbeim, and you had opportunities to find out, am I tefillin proper? So there's more of a tviya, there's more of a taina, there's more of a demand that's placed upon a person to care about these things. How could you not care about these things? Shekeshakonim tzitzis, yesh ledas bevadoz shachin nasu l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. When you buy tzitzis, so find that person who makes tzitzis, who's known to have a good reputation for making the tzitzis of all the hidurim and all the good kavanos. Why not? Lo liknos elam yehudi kasher shemakir oso. Right? To buy tzitzis from a proper person. I never understood why shuls have such bad talisim. You know what I'm talking about? I want to I have to really do this. You know? Like, you pick up like a talis in shul to like get an aliyah. You know, and it's like, it's short, it's like a conservative scarf talis, you know?
Like brown stains.
It's brown stains on it, like the strings are like all knotty or ripped. I'm like, what is this? Why can't we buy, like, I have a nice normal Shabbos talis. Like, why can't you have one of those by the Bima? You know? Okay. This is the Baal Davar. It's the Maisa Satan, I don't know. Yitzhara gets us to be cheap. I'm saying, just scale back the Kiddush 1 week and like buy a talis, you know? It's crazy. But yeah, okay, so that's what Wilson's saying, but you have to care about these things. Even though nowadays you can get tzitzis that are made by machine, and there's all sorts of, again, different shitas on how this works. Don't be worried about spending. It's kedai to spend a little bit more on these things. Because again, the weaving certainly requires lishma. And there are those who say, you know, if you want to get a good pair of tzitzis, right, there's a shita that's brought in Shulchan Aruch, dafka, that everyone holds this way, right? But there's an inyan of nipatz lishma, that even when the wool is being combed, it should be combed l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. So you see, in places where you buy, you know, you go to the right store in Meir Sharm, and they'll say, nipatz lishma, tviya lishma, everything lishma. Everything about the tzitzis were made lishma. So spend a couple extra bucks. Right? Don't worry about the money. It's kedai to spend a little extra. There's a tshuva from the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim spoke very, very strongly against machine-made tzitzis. Tzitzis that are not made totally by hand. And the Divrei Chaim said, that, it's interesting, the Noam Elimelech in Parshas Noach, let's go back half a second. Noam Elimelech in Parshas Noach says that in his generation, he feels that the mitzvah of the generation is tzitzis. That's what he says. Every generation has its mitzvah, and the Noam Elimelech felt that in his time, the main mitzvah that Klal Yisrael needs to be mechazik themselves in is tzitzis. I would say b'zman hazeh, tzitzis is also a very chashuv thing. Why? Think about the Gemara Menachos. You know the Gemara Menachos where there's a fellow, it's a little bit of a delicate Gemara, there's a fellow who goes to Anzona, right? And all of a sudden, as he's getting undressed to sin with this lady, he's taking off his tzitzis, and his tzitzis smack him in the face, the Gemara says. And all of a sudden, he like snaps out of it and says, what am I doing? Tzitzis, parsha tzitzis. What am I doing? I'm about to sleep with this non-Jewish woman. What am I doing? The tzitzis smacked him in the face. Tzitzis are, again, the same way the wife gives the kala gives her chasen a talis, and she wraps him up in the talis, she walks around him seven times. Then, you know, tzitzis is a big shmira when it comes to inyanei arayos. And therefore, it's a very chashuv thing. So, Noam Elimelech writes in Parshas Noach, he said in his generation, the mitzvah of tzitzis is the main mitzvah. Different tzaddikim in different generations say what the main mitzvah of the generation is. The Chazon Ish said the main mitzvah in our time is emunah. The Nesiv HaShalom said the main mitzvah in our time is chinuch habanim. Different tzaddikim say different things. But the Divrei Chaim, Chaim Sanzer, has a tshuva And the Shilos and Chuba's Divrei Chaim, who's a big posik, mamash, a huge gon, and the Divrei Chaim spoke very strongly in this Chuba against this place that was making some type of machine-made tzitzis. There's a footnote from the grandchildren of the Divrei Chaim in some editions of the Shilos and Chuba's Divrei Chaim, and in the footnote it says, the person didn't listen, the person who owned this, you know, machinery, didn't listen to the Divrei Chaim, and his machinery, the factory, like, went up in flames, and the whole thing was destroyed. He didn't listen to the Pesach of the Divrei Chaim. He thought he knew better than Divrei Chaim, and he kept using his machine tzitzis, and his whole factory was destroyed. That's what they write, a historical footnote on the Divrei Chaim, because Divrei Chaim warned him. He said, there's no bracha is going to come from this venture, and I'm telling you, it's going to be very, very bad. He didn't listen, and his whole factory burnt down, because he didn't listen to the Divrei Chaim. So these are not small things. Again, the couple extra bucks that it's going to take to get a better pair of tzitzis, if we would stop and think about what tzitzis does for me, how it protects me, how it envelops me, in Kedusha, I would take it very seriously. So even if it costs a little bit more, he says, don't be cheap when it comes to hiddur mitzvah. Especially, again, these kalim, these tools of tefillah. You should make sure that you buy your tefillin from a God-fearing individual. Again, Baruch Hashem b'zman hazeh, there's a lot of nice places to buy really good quality tefillin. And this gives chizik to a person to attach himself that much more to Hashem. Sh'atfilin heima dveikus, u'shemo mora alav milashon tafel, sh'nase davuk b'akadosh baruch hu. That the very word tefillin, not shorish, tefillin, tefila, naftali, right? Those words, all that shoresh always means attachment. So when you wear tefillin, not just attaching the tefillin to your body, but the tefillin become a conduit to attach yourself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, how much more of an opportunity? That's why Shachris is the main tefillah of the day. Rav Wolfson writes earlier in the Sefer, Mincha and Ma'ariv are very important, but Shachris is where you lay the foundation for the whole day. And that's why we come to Shachris with our tzitzis, we come with our talis, we come with our tefillin, and we try to deeply attach ourselves to Kadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that we start the day in the right way. You want to say something? Sure? Okay, let's keep going for a couple more minutes. The next section. Anche Knesses Hagadola, Tiknu Tfila, Shebekocho Latakin Tikun Chodesh Veshona Becholyum. Now you have to realize, Shmona Esrei, for those people who think Shmona Esrei gets repetitive, I wish I could make my own Shmona Esrei every day. Anche Knesses Hagadola crafted such a tefillah, and the tzaddikim we're going to explain, as you'll see, that no two tefillahs in history are alike. That as much as the words stay the same, there's something unique about every word of tefillah that's ever davened. And it's not just because time moves forward and history moves forward, so no one has ever stood in this place on this particular date and said these words of tefillah. I was in the city for Shabbos. I was at Stern College for Shabbos. And I love thinking about, I'm very into this, into being like the first person to ever say a particular tefillah or learn a particular thing in a particular spot. So like when I got into the elevator at the hotel on Friday, like going up to my room, so I said, Bereishis bar lokim esa shemayim v'esa haaretz. I said the first pasuk of Torah. I said, I wonder if anyone ever said the first pasuk of Torah in this elevator. Maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know. I think I have a good chance of maybe being the first. The court on East 39th, could be. You know? So when a person realizes that every word that he says, he could be the first person to ever, and the first person to ever say Asher Yatzar, in room 503. Now, it could be, maybe not. But maybe yes. Maybe yes. Right? I'm for sure the first person to read that Rebbe book in that room. That's okay? Fine. So look what he says. Kishemaschilim lispal velomer seder tefillah tzvichim ledas. When you start to daven, you need to think about it. You need to know. She'ein omrim stam tevos. You're not saying stam words. Elikol teva v'teva hi heichal b'shamayim. As we learned earlier in the Sefer, some of us, that every word is a chamber in the heavens. That every word is a key to unlock another world above, another doorway, another chamber. Hatevos ha'elu nitaknu al yidei anshek nesa gedola v'yidei David ha'melech olav ha'shalom. Let's think for a second. The greatest assembly of rabbis ever put together, the anshek nesa gedola, 120 neviim, tzaddikim, talmidei chachamim, great, great Jews wrote the tefillah, and of course David ha'melech as well. V'kosov me'arizal sfar makadoshim shel achrov, the arizal and tzaddikim who came after him, like Rav Chaim Volozhiner speaks about this, he says at length, b'sefer nefesh ha'chaim, shekol teva v'teva, mitevos ha'tvila, nitkon beruach ha'kodesh uvenevua, They were written in such a way, with such a degree of prophetic knowledge, that shebechol yom he ma'osim tikkun acher ba'olamos ha'elyonim. That the tefillos were crafted, that when the Anshei Knesset, with the Ruach HaKodesh, it sounds like an impossible thing to imagine, but this is what the tzaddikim tell us, from the Arizal to the Toldos Yaakov Yosef to Rav Chaim Volozhiner and everyone else, that the words were written in such a way that they wrote the Shmona Esrei with a certain kavana for Tavshanayin Vav, and a certain kavana for Tavshanayin Zayin, and a certain kavana for Tavshanayin Ches, and for each day, for every Shachris and Mincha Marv, there's a different nuance to every word of the Tefillah, so that no two tefillahs are ever alike, and they're metaking different things in different olamos. Ki adua shahayu kama kilkulim b'tchilas habriya shemehem ha'olam niskalkel. That there were certain things that went wrong from the beginning of time, and Hashem yizbarach sivev kein, kidei sheklal yisrael yitachnu as ha'olam legamri. And we're working every day to try to fix the world, going back to Gan Eden, to Adam Harishon. And every Shemona Esrei is fixing another little piece of the puzzle, is lifting up another word, another spark. V'ikra ha'kilkul haya al yedei chet Adam Harishon, and every day we're working again on different tikkunim, bring us closer and closer to that Yom Shekula Shabbos, to the world of Mashiach. Umizman Adam Arishon, Amlu Tzadiki Hadoros Lahevi Tikkun LaOlam Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov VeShivteka Moshe VeAaron David HaMelech. Every tzaddik in every generation was doing his part. Avram was doing his avodah, and Yitzchak was doing his avodah, and Yaakov was doing his avodah, and Moshe and Aaron and David, and everyone throughout history, the Shvatim, call echad tikin chelko v'hevi es ha'olam l'matzav metukan yoser. And the world got a little better. To fix. I'll tell you an amazing vart that tzaddik can bring. What's the birthday and the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu? Zayin Adar. Why Zayin Adar? So there's a gevaldik shot. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to the world, and he traveled through the seven rakios, right? Like Aaron said before, there's seven rakios, seven heavens. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down, and they came down, and they came down, and they came down, until eventually, the sins of man drove HaKadosh Baruch Hu away. But then the tzaddikim worked to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back to this world. So Avram brought him back a little bit, and then Yitzchak a little bit more, and then Yaakov, we're up to three, right? And then after Yaakov, I guess, maybe Yosef? No, after Yaakov, Levi. Let's say Sheva Levi, yeah. Yeah, so let's go. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kahas, Amram, Moshe. Yeah. So Moshe brought Hashem that seventh step. So there's a very famous Torah from the Mori Naim. The Mori Naim says that why is Chodesh Adar called Adar? Adar is Aleph Dar. Dar means like a dira, to dwell. Aleph Dar, I want the Aleph, Alufa Sha'olam, I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aleph, Echad, the one. I want Hashem to dwell in my life. Adar is that I want Hashem, Aleph should be Dar in my life. What, the seven? Yeah, the Maori Naim, the Rebbe of Chernobyl, says in Parshas Truma, that Adar is called Adar because Aleph Dar. The words Aleph Dalet Reish stand for Aleph Dar. Aleph means Alufa Sha'olam, the master of the world. And Dar means to dwell. So I want Aleph, I want Hashem to dwell in my life. There's a Gemara that says if you want to have success in your business, you should plant an Adar tree, an Eder tree, Aleph Dalet Reish tree, in your yard. It means that make sure that the Aleph is Dar. If you bring Hashem into your life, then your business will be successful. Yeah, like Rav Matta said the other day, Bitcoin is really Bitachon. That's what Rav Matta Frank said in the corner the other day. Okay, so if you bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your businesses, then you'll be successful. Yeah? So the tzaddikim explained that's why Moshe's yard site and birthday is Zayin Adar. Because Moshe was the one who brought Hashem fully back to this world. Again, there's seven levels. So Avram brought him a little bit. How did he leave? Different Rasham were driving him out throughout the generations. Meaning from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first came to this world, he was coming close, and then the Rasham, the bad generations, there's a cheshbon in the Medrash. I don't know, Dor Mabel, Dor Flaga, they pushed him out. And then Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kahas, Amram, Moshe. So Moshe is Zayin Adar. That Moshe brought Hashem, his birth and his death were in Zayin Adar. He brought Hashem the final step into this world. Right? Again, they're assuming that there's seven rakiot, there's seven heavens, there's seven layers. So Moshe pulled HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the way down to this world. Levi as a son, Kahas, as a son, Amram, as a son, Moshe. Is that right? I think so. Okay, so each door is being metakin a different thing. Everyone's trying to fix. So we're also trying to fix. When we get up to Davin Shimon Esther, we're trying to push things a little bit closer to Mashiach. Avram did his part, Yitzchak did his part, the Shvatim did their part, everyone did their part. Uvechol yom nishlam v'netakin ha'olam yoser v'yoser, top of page chafei. V'nasa karov yoser l'shleimus al yedei avodos klal yisrael. And we get a little closer to perfection through our efforts. It's actually a very good technique, I feel like, in davening. If you say, right, instead of it just being another Shmon Esrei, another Shmon Esrei, another Shmon Esrei, if you just feel like this Shmon Esrei gets us a step closer to Mashiach, I feel like that's a chashuv thing. So over the course of my life, I'm going to daven, you know, who knows how many Shmon Esreis, and I'm gonna get us closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a beautiful pshat from Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. I'll try to say it. I'm probably going to mess it up, but I'll try to say it. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld says, why on Shabbos, daven Nosach Svard, the highlight of the davening is Keser, right? In the Kedusha of Musaf. Keser Yitnu Lecha. So what's the Keser? So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld has a cheshbon. He calculates that over the course of the week, he cheshbons how many brachos we're saying in Shmona Esrei. Over the course of the whole week. So let's figure this out for a second. Yeah, so six, what's 6 times 19? Forget Shabbos for a second. Let's put Shabbos aside for a second. How much?
6 times 19 is 114.
6 times 19 is 114. 6 times 19 is 114. So what did I do wrong? I messed it up already.
19, why?
18
times
19. Yeah, but 18. What's 19 times 5? 95?
95?
Yes, that's the right number. 19 times 5. Why 5?
6 times 19.
19 times
5.
Wait, what? What
do
they say?
Well, there's also 3 per day. So it should be 19 times 3 times 6.
What? What's 19 times 15? Sandy's our math genius. 19
times 15 is 285.
I don't know. I shouldn't have said it. I knew I was going to mess it up. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld has an amazing cheshbon. Rav Shor brings it in Halakas Valib of Tavshin Samach Beis. He says that basically you're davening, when you add up all the brachos of Shmona Esrei over the course of the week, you're davening 620 brachos. So when you get to Musaf, and you say Keser, the 600 Keser is going to match your 620. So when I, over the course of the week, Keser Yitnu Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the brachos of Shmona Esrei that I gave you over the course of the week, we're creating a Keser. We're creating a crown. I'll have to bring it in tomorrow and get the cheshbon right. But you have to realize that every bit of that brach, if I miss one bracha during the week, then there's no Keser, there's no crown for the Hashem. The Mashiach doesn't happen. So a person has to realize that every bracha and every word of Shmona Esrei is moving the world closer to its tikkun. Okay, go to the second paragraph on page chafei. V'anche knes ha'gedola tiknu tefila kazos shebakocho letakin tikkun chadash v'shona b'chol yom. And again, they wrote the words in such a way that every single day, a person is able to achieve something new with each word. V'lo od el shekol rega v'rega ba'olam yesh tikkun shona. That every day and every moment is a new opportunity. V'lo od el shekol adam ba'olam yesh l'tikkun shona b'chavero. And the reason that you exist is because you can accomplish something with your davening that someone else can't. You can bring us closer to Mashiach in a particular way that I can't, that someone else can. V'atikunim ha-miyuchadim lo, i'efshu le'asos ha-yedei acherim, rakhu ba'atzmo sarach l'taknum. Just like Avram had to do his thing, and Yitzchak had to do his thing, and Yaakov had to do his thing, each person has to do his unique avot. Okay, go to the bottom paragraph on page Chafei. With this we conclude. V'lezeh amar ha-chidush ha-yarim. The Chiddush Yerim explained, this is the Pshat in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. If you want to know where this Chiddush Yerim is found, it's the Sfas Emes in Parshas Korach. The Sfas Emes in Parshas Korach was his grandfather, the Chiddush Yerim. You know when I learned that Sfas Emes in Parshas Korach? When I was in Wayam. And I was in Rav Golvich Shir, and I remember he quoted it. And I remember I liked it, and I wrote it down. And that's why I still remember it. Sfas Emes in Parshas Korach was the Chiddush Yerim. Im lo achshav of emasai, right? Im ein ani li mili, kashani la atzmi imani. When a person wakes up from his sleep in the morning, and he gets up with a sense of what? Of yira. And he's energized to serve Hashem. Tzarech ata ledas shebayom hazeh muta alecha letakin litkon ba'olam as hataun tikun. It's your opportunity today to fix what needs to be fixed. And what does it mean, imlo achshav emasai? What does the Mishnah Pirkei Avos mean? If not now, when? It means a person has to live with a sense of such responsibility that this Shemona Esrei, Sunday morning, you know, what's today's date? The 13th of Shvat? 12th, what was today? 12th? The 12th of Shvat, Sunday morning, Shemona Esrei, this afternoon's Mincha, tonight's Maariv, is imlo achshav emasai. If not now, when? There's something, there's a piece in the puzzle that can be fixed right now, and if I don't fix it, who knows when it's going to be fixed? Shelo b'chinam nasan l'cha kadosh baruch hu yom hazeh. It's not by chance you were born today. It's not by chance you exist right now. Why weren't we in the 1700s? Why weren't we born in the time of Rashi? There's a reason our neshamas are in our bodies at this time in history. Shekadosh baruch hu katzav l'cha meirosh mispar katzav shal yamim, that Hashem gave you a set number of days in your life, a set number of hours, a set number of seconds. Shal chayim b'olam hazeh. Ki rega ba'apo chayim b'rtzono. Everything is so precise. Ko rega v'rega sha'odam makabul chiyus v'olam. Hura kadeh lamalus rotan aboryas baruch shemo. The fact that you exist in this second is because you have something to achieve. The fact that you got up and came to shir this morning is part of your tikkun. I hope. V'im chas v'shalom lo etkan bayom u'v'shal v'rega zeh es ma'ashemuto alai ba'atmi l'taki. And if I don't fix what I'm supposed to fix right here, right now, hu hefzid otzum. It's an unbelievable lost moment. In time, it's lost. It's a moment that's lost. Right? If Shabbos afternoon, instead of taking a few minutes this past Shabbos to learn, you did something else which you didn't really need to do. Right? So those moments are lost. There's seconds of Lima Torah, the greatest mitzvah on Shabbos, which is that much greater, that you can't really fix. You do tshuva for it, but it's lost moments. It's a unique opportunity to lift up the world. And it was lost. Again, it's a very scary way to think, but that's really the depth of what Chazal meant in Imlo Achshav Emasai. Carpe diem, seize the moment. A person has to grab the opportunity and say, this is right, this right now. Right? And again, one day at a time, not to look at it, how am I going to make the right choice my whole life? For the next 5 minutes, how do I want to spend these next 5 minutes? What is this Shemona Esrei going to look like? I don't have to worry about how I'm going to have Kavanah for every Shemona Esrei. Sunday afternoon, today, when we go to Daven Mincha. Think, this is the only time I'll ever be able to daven mincha, right, on the 12th of Shvat, Tavshin Ayin Ches. It's a unique opportunity in time. If I don't fix, you know, with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Anshe Knesset Gedol I had in mind, for your mincha on a Sunday afternoon on the 12th of Shvat, in Tavshin Ayin Ches. It's an amazing idea. Okay, so Mir Tashem, we should practice what we learned this morning. Okay. Shkoyach.